Excellent. Well, it's Pentecost Sunday today, folks, so I'm going to be preaching on the Holy Spirit. But I'm not just preaching on the Holy Spirit because it's Pentecost Sunday. The Lord has been speaking to us for a good few weeks now. It's quite an echo on this. About moving into the more of God. And so I want to speak on that this morning. That door is locked, Hannah. You won't get through. Spirit break out. Okay. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke 24, we're going to kick off there. The Word of God encourages us, and the writers in the Scriptures urge us to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in step with the Holy Spirit, to partner with the Holy Spirit. And that begins by being born again. It begins by pressing into Jesus. And it also begins by receiving this mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit, which we see happened on the day of Pentecost, and which we see happened through the lives of people in the story of the book of Acts. And we're going to just kick off with a video, if that's okay.
John, wake up, all of you. Wake! Come!
What are we doing? We're praying.
Kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
Now we can leave this place. Now spread his word.
The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit coming down at Pentecost. That's from a series called AD, Kingdom and Empire. And so today we celebrate what happened just over 2,000 years ago in that upper room. But the good news is, of course, that God's still doing that today and empowering us through the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk to us about the baptism in the Holy Spirit today and keeping on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to kick off with who is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit and who is it for? So Luke 24, 49, Jesus said the following. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you shall receive power from on high. It's an amazing promise. And when Jesus started his ministry and he came to be baptized in water, John the Baptizer, who was baptizing people in the River Jordan, identified him as the Lamb of God and also as the one who would come to baptize with the Holy Spirit, as the Christ, as the Anointed One, which is what his name means. But Jesus himself identifies himself as the baptizer in these words. He says to the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you've received power from on high. And then in Acts chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've already heard me tell you about. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It's an incredible thing, and we've just seen a visual of that, an endowment of power from on high, an experience of power, an invasion of power. This baptism in the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives is an incredible thing, friends. And what we see as we read this first chapter in the book of Acts, that it actually wasn't just for the 12. That's where the film got it wrong. It wasn't just for a few. It was actually in verse 15 of chapter 1, there were 120 people in that upper room, men, women, not just the original 12. Because this baptism is for all. The outworking of that outpouring is described in chapter 2, where Peter gets up to preach and to explain what's happening under the power of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 39, Peter says this about the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It says, for the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off. That's us. As many as the Lord our God will call. So the promise is for you and for you. It's for all people, all generations, all nations. See, friends, the goal of Jesus coming to earth was not simply to die on that cross for our sins. It was not simply to be raised from death. And it was actually to be ascended into heaven. All of that was accomplished that from that position of victory on high, he would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. And Peter talks about that again in that preach, where he describes what is happening there, that this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that the Spirit of God will be poured out in the last days. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And I'll pour out my Spirit upon all people. It's for all. I just want to highlight that because the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not for super saints. It's not for special people. It's not a kind of deluxe extra for Christians. It's actually for all believers. Yeah? God wants us all to be moving in the river of God in his power, in the kind of firepower that we saw visually on that movie just now. He wants us all to be functioning, if I can, on all cylinders in the kingdom, living overcoming lives, seeing the kingdom come not only in our lives, but through our lives, and releasing the life of the kingdom wherever we go. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is the power, presence, and person of God the Holy Spirit being poured out on our lives, taking possession of us, because of the price that Jesus paid and the provision that he made through his death, resurrection, and ascension. It's a life-changing miracle. It's an invasion of God's glory from on high. And there's an invitation for each one of us here this morning again to come to him and drink, to press in for the more of this river of life, to drink. In John chapter 7, at another feast, this time not the feast of Pentecost, but the feast of Tabernacles, the tradition in Jerusalem at the feast of Tabernacles, there were 7 days for that feast, and the greatest day of that feast was the last day. It was called in Hebrew Simchat Torah, which means the reading of the law. And on that day, the priest would stand in the temple area with a chalice, and this chalice would be full of water, and it was to symbolize it, that time of year in October in Israel. It was to symbolize the end of the dry season. The rains were coming again to Israel, and it was a rejoicing time because that always spoke of abundance, spoke of harvest, spoke of God's provision, spoke of God's favor, spoke of God's life and love towards them. So the priest would stand with this chalice as a symbolic of that. But on this occasion, when Jesus was at the feast, he stands in that same arena. And this is what it says. On the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. When the priest was about to raise his cup, Jesus cried out. He shouted out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." There's a new kind of spiritual dry season which has been around for centuries, he's saying, which is about to be broken, not from rain from heaven, but through another rain that's come from heaven through him and his life. He says, "Come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I love that, don't you? When you believe in Jesus and when you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't just receive a drop. It's not a dripping tap. It's a deluge. It's a river that God wants to release through our lives. Yeah? It's the fullness of life in Christ. He says, "Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so that's just describing again that everything that Jesus was going to do in terms of his death, resurrection, and ascension was in preparation for this mighty outpouring. So friends, you can be a believer, but God wants you to be a receiver and a river of life. Not just a believer, but a receiver and a river of life. And we're going to look at some scriptures just now in the book of Acts where people were believers, but they became receivers and rivers of life. Because people around you, in your workplace, in your university, in your school, where you are in your community, they are desperate. They're dry. They're looking and longing for something to satisfy this inward thirst in their lives, to satisfy their soul. And when we receive that, we are to be those that become rivers of life. Inflow and outflow. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit comes to believers from the outside in, but once received, it's to release a river from the inside out. You know, there's two seas in Israel. There's the Sea of Galilee and there's the Dead Sea. They're both sourced from the same point, the River Jordan. But the Dead Sea lives up to its name. It's dead because it has no outlet. It has an inlet, but no outlet. The, the, the Sea of Galilee is fresh water because it's got an inlet and an outlet. And that's the life of the Spirit, friends. That's the life that God wants us to enjoy in fellowship, in partnership with Him. It's an inflow and an outflow. Freely receive, freely give. Inflow, outflow. A river, not a dam. And it comes from receiving this baptism in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, the invitation for us again today is come. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me and drink. And the wonderful thing is, there's a daily invitation from the throne. Come to me. Find rest and refreshment. Come to me and drink. And out of your innermost being, as you receive from me, will flow rivers of living water. So let's just have a couple of examples in Acts, the book of Acts, about believers who became receivers. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Acts chapter 8 is the story of Philip, who went to Samaria, preached the gospel in that city, and saw a whole city come alive by the power of the gospel. People were set free from the demonic. People were healed of illnesses, and they responded to the gospel. And it says in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. Whole city, as the river of God just started to flow through this evangelist declaring the gospel of Christ. Many people believed, it says in verse 12, when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized in water. So they believed. But then if you read on in verse 14, it says, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that the people in Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive. They believed. There was a period of time, and they came down. They laid hands upon them. They prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit. For as yet, He hadn't fallen upon any of them. They'd only been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The river of God was flowing in a new community. Then let's go to Acts chapter. And something remarkable must have happened there, because actually there was a guy called Simon the sorcerer who was involved in the occult in that city in Samaria, and he was about to be His field of business in terms of the occult was being plundered by another kingdom as God's kingdom came into that area. And he, obviously, something remarkable must have happened with those guys, because he says to the apostles, give me that gift too. And he offers them money. And then Peter says, you can't buy this gift. You need to repent to receive this gift. So something remarkable must have happened to those guys. They saw something had changed in their lives. So Acts 19. Here we have some disciples that Paul comes across at Ephesus. It says in verse 1 that he found some disciples there. And this is the question he asked them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Wow. It's a little bit like me and my upbringing. I came from a background where things were preached each week, but there was very little reference to the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, the Bible wasn't preached too regularly either. So I had an understanding of Jesus, had a sort of basic understanding of God, but I knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. And here Paul asks the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, well, we haven't even heard as much whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And he said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And there's about 12 of them in all. These guys are still wet after being baptized in water. They come out of the water. Paul lays his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. So what we see in the book of Acts is believers became receivers. And we see these interchangeable terms for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it says, as with the guys in Samaria, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Here it says the Holy Spirit came upon them. In Acts chapter 2, it says they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, it says the Holy Spirit fell on them. And it also talks about the promise of the Father. These are all interchangeable terms for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit. And it is for all of us as believers. So, what happens when we receive the Holy Spirit? What happens when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, what we see with the passage that we've just read is that they prophesied and spoke in tongues. In other areas of the book of Acts, we see in Acts chapter 2, they did the same. They spoke in languages that they'd never learned, as we saw on the video clip there, as the Holy Spirit came upon them. But interestingly, in Acts chapter 2, as they spoke in languages that they'd never learned, people were drawn to the place where they were speaking those languages, and because it was the time of Pentecost where the whole city was actually overflowing with visitors from all many nations, people started to hear these guys speaking from Galilee in languages from all sorts of nations that they'd come from, and they understood what they were saying. So it wasn't just the case that they spoke in tongues. They actually spoke in languages that were understandable. And they prophesied and they worshiped God, and people were drawn to the Lord as a result. So what we see in the New Testament, we also see in Acts chapter 10 and verse 44 with the household at Cornelius, that when the Holy Spirit fell upon them as Peter was preaching, it says that they praised and some of them spoke in tongues. So we have, if you put all of those passages together, you see that actually when the Holy Spirit came upon people, there was an overflow out of their mouths. Yeah, a spontaneous overflow, a spiritual overflow. And so, I mean, if you could imagine filling up a bath at home, I've done it a few times in my life, quite a few times, although I don't have many baths these days. It's generally Lynn and Lorna that do all the baths. I enjoy a shower. But in the old days, I used to run a bath, and often I'd forget I'd left it running. And thankfully, there was an overflow, a small little overflow that the water ran out, and it didn't overflow over the sides. Yeah. And the picture here is when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an overflow from our hearts. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. That the mouth is the overflow of our hearts. And so it's completely logical, biblically, that when we are filled with the life of God, there'll be an overflow through our mouths. In praise, there'll be an overflow in prophecy, or there'll be an overflow in tongues. That's what we see in Scripture. Now, is that immediate for everybody when they are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Not always. And we're going to hear some testimonies of people who've received that and how God met with them. So I'm going to ask Jenny, I'm just going to ask three people to come and just share a testimony, so that we can be encouraged this morning that actually this gift and this power of the presence of the Holy Spirit is for all.
Hello. I was trying to, I can't remember the exact age when I received the Holy Spirit, but I think I was about 9 or 10. And I was actually tagging along with my dad, I think, to a meeting for the youth, because dad was preaching and teaching about the Holy Spirit. And whilst I was listening, I really wanted to receive this gift myself as well. So a few people prayed for me, and for me it was quite a peaceful experience, but I could feel something happening inside, and I did start to speak in tongues quite quickly and sing in tongues with people that were praying for me, and also in that time people gave me prophetic words, which I think for me that was quite a powerful turning point in my walk with God as well, in terms of thinking about the future that he had for me.
For me, it was before the girls, I think. I was I was in the Pentecostal church with Daniel already, and after we got married. And it was during the Sunday meetings, we used to kind of come to the front and ask for prayers and kind of specific. And I remember asking for a prayer to know more of God. And just people laid hands on me, and it was the warmth that I remember. And then a few weeks later, I didn't probably at the time understand fully what was happening. I think I know better now what the process. But a few weeks later, we were praying, and this video we watched today, it was kind of reminded me about the, it was like, the place was buzzing with the prayer and the praise, and everybody was praying in tongues, and I just joined in the prayer with my normal usual prayers, and then all of a sudden these words started coming out of my mouth as well. So that was speaking tongues, which I think I said to Danny that day, I think I prayed in tongues today, but I'm not sure what was happening. And I think then, I think maybe being a young mom, I think I probably didn't, I prayed, but I didn't feel that it for quite a while. And I remember a couple of, 2-3 years ago, we were at Hoik. And I remember again praying, asking for a prayer just to feel that presence in me. And the ladies prayed, put their hands on me. And by the time we came back from that weekend again, the presence was there, and that feeling, the warmth was there, and yeah, and since then I'm just, I know that as well as important to practice and just keep going. So that was mine.
I got baptized in the Holy Spirit some 38 years ago, and I just started to work that out. I had been, went through the waters of baptism, and then we had a holy huddle in the corner, and see if we'd, nothing happened, so I went a few months without yearning that of to speak in tongues, but it never happened. In home group, the buddies were all around me and said, Roy, just mimic me, what I say, you know? And they were all speaking in tongues, and I was, I goes, no, it's just not working. It's not working. Something switched off somewhere. So I goes, I'm sorry, but nothing. So I went home that night after that, because it was a quite intense. That night, I went home. And before I prayed, before I went to sleep, I just prayed. And I said, well, Lord, if this is you and that's for me, please come and show if it's for me. And then during the night, I woke up and my hands were draped over my side of my bed. On the, what do you call it? The backing of the bed, and I was speaking in tongues. It was amazing. It was amazing. And there was just the sense and the presence of God there, which I felt. And then when I woke up in the morning, I started to read scripture, and I started to read in Romans, and it says, live your life as a living sacrifice. This is your act of worship. And I says, what? And it was as if the words started to jump out.
Wonderful.
There were no longer written words. Yeah. They became words that were life.
That's good. Thanks, Ron. Wonderful. Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? And it's for you. And for you. And for you. And and that's the beginning of the river flowing. And God wants us to enjoy that partnership with Him. So for myself, I had an experience on the 29th of June 1980, just the other day. I was 18. And I'd been yearning for more of God, but I'd been struggling also in my Christian walk. I was a believer, but I hadn't become a receiver. I'd heard of the Holy Spirit. My brother had encouraged me to find out more. I'd read a book called Be Filled Now by Roy Hessian. And it was out of that text in Ephesians, keep on being filled. And it's actually a command. And I was pursuing this. And it came to a point in my bedroom on that night where I just got to my knees. And I said, Lord, I hand everything over to you. I came to a point really of just surrender. I had struggled with peer pressure at school. I struggled to maintain a stand for Jesus. I was kind of a gray twilight in between Christian, one foot in, one foot out. But I wanted everything that Jesus had for me. I didn't fully understand it all. And in my bedroom that night, the presence of God just came. And the best, the way that He came to me that night, I knew it was God in such a powerful way. I had a radical encounter. But the word that describes my experience more than any other word was the peace of God. I experienced the peace of God in my life that I knew the Prince of Peace had come in a different way. The Spirit of Peace had come. And there was a victory in my life that hadn't been there before. But I only spoke in tongues 3 months later. Because that was a journey. It was a pursuit. If Lynn shared her testimony with you this morning, it was about a 7-year journey for her, pursuing that gift. But when we read the book of Acts, what we see is it was quick. And I want to encourage you to pursue the gift. The purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to empower you to live and to be a holy and radical testimony to Jesus Christ. It's to empower us to witness for Him. It's to give us an ability to live victorious lives over addictions, over habits that we've been struggling with. The power, God gives us power. That the actual word is dunamis. Jesus said you'll receive dunamis, dynamic, not dynamite that explodes, but a dynamic ability is the word. It's the can-do factor. The Holy Spirit, the power of God that enables us to overcome in the challenges of life. That we have somebody on the inside who's doesn't just want to be a resident, but he wants to be president. And when we surrender everything, you see, if you're gonna fill this bottle full of water and you're gonna go out for a hike, on a warm day, you're going to make sure, number one, it's clean. And then you're going to make sure, number two, it's filled to the top. So that it actually is going to resource you for the whole journey. And so on that day in June 1980, I came clean with God. I came to a point of repentance where I said, God, I'm empty without you. Fill me. Fill me to overflowing. And we've got to come to that place where actually we recognize our total need of Him. You and I can have as much of the Holy Spirit as we want. Now I say that on one side, because actually when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have all of the Holy Spirit. But there's a tension in Scripture that actually, because we have free will, that we have to pursue more of the Holy Spirit, to experience the more of Him. And for us to experience that in our soul, in our minds, in our emotions, in our relationships, in every sphere of life, God wants us to grow, and therefore a pursuit is required. So how do we receive? Yield everything to Jesus. Come to Christ. Thirst for more of Him. Ask in faith with thanksgiving. And come and drink. Come and drink. On that first day of Pentecost, they waited. They put all their eggs in one basket. They could have actually said, okay, after 5 days, okay, nothing's happening. We're out of here. It's getting pretty terrifying in Jerusalem, what's going on with the Romans. We're going to get out. We're going to go back to our peaceful life in Galilee and do some fishing. They didn't do that. They pressed in for what Jesus had said would come. They put all their eggs in one basket, and they trusted God, and they waited expectantly. They persevered. And God came. And God came in power. And they went out and shared that word, the word of God, with power. God's word to us recently has been that as more of His presence comes, more of His Spirit comes, there will be a ringing out from us into our community. A ringing out of His word into our community. That comes primarily through a sharing of good news with people through our mouths. It comes through a sharing of good news through our lives, having a smile on our dial as we go out, so that we are good news, as well as speaking good news. But that power, friends, comes from a living, continual encounter and drinking of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Lorna just to come back up, and we're just going to pray. I'm going to pray, but we're going to play that song again. I just want more. Yeah. Let's stand together, shall we, friends? And I want to invite you, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit or had that release in terms of speaking in tongues or that sense of the presence of God filling your heart and your life to overflowing, if you're struggling to witness about Jesus to people, as I was, in those years, you're struggling to share your faith with others, God wants to come and empower you through the Holy Spirit to be a living, joyful witness to Him. And it would be a privilege for us, some of us, just to pray with you today. There's an invitation from heaven today. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus says, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So if you would like to receive, just as we are worshiping, we're not going to go on too long in terms of time, but as we start to worship, if you want to receive from more of the Holy Spirit, just come forward today. And perhaps there's other needs that you have that you're wanting God to minister to you. That's also fine. It would be a privilege to pray for you and allow the Holy Spirit just to, yeah, minister into those areas of need and bring freedom and bring life and bring fresh power. Thank you, Lord.